今天非常高兴啊，又再来跟大家分享佛法。
Today I'm very happy to be here to share Dharma with everyone.
那今天呢？哎，请问这个声音这样子可以吗？
Is it okay the sound? The little sound you hear clearly?
那今天呢，我们讲的这个题目呢，就是叫做因无所住。
The title of the talk today is Without Abiding, the Mind Arises.
第一个呢是我们在农禅寺也好，在这个台湾总本山的那个禅堂也好，这两个地方呢都会有很大的一个匾额，很大的一个匾额。上面就写了这四个字，因无所住。
So if you go to the headquarters of Dhammadron Mountain or the Longchan Temple in Taiwan, you will actually see the four characters of Chinese calligraphy. It says 因无所住 which means without abiding.
那请问一下有几位看过这个两个匾额的，这两个地方，请举手。
So please raise your hands if you've seen this the courtesy between in the headquarters in the Long Temple.
有一部分哈、哦，很好。
Some of them.
那可是呢，看是看到这个样子，而且呢是个字哈、哦，是虚云老上所提的。那个时候他提的时候呢，是120岁。
So.These four characters, Chinese characters, 因无所住actually was originally done by Master Xu, Master Empty Cloud, when he was 120 years old.
那我们也知道呢，虚云老和尚呢是禅宗，就是近代禅宗的一位非常有名的祖师。他的经历，他的事迹呢，是让我们看了以后呢是非常感动的。那就是在这个虚云老和尚的年谱上面，每一年一个时段做什么都非常的清楚。那他的禅修是这个不可否认是公认的，他是一位祖师，近代的一位祖师。
And I'm sure you're all very familiar with Master Empty Cloud or Master Xu Yun because he is very famous in Chinese modern Chan history.And he is a legendary figure and is considered one of the best Chan practitioners, Chan masters at the time. And he is viewed as a Chan patriarch.
那虚云老上这个年谱、啊、也有翻成这个英文的。我相信如果是学佛然后修禅的、啊、可能都会看过这本书。
So actually the chronicle of Master Xu Yun has been translated in English already, which details his lifetime each year what he did.
可是这几个字因无所住这几个字呢其实是从金刚经上面来的。
So the four Chinese character, 因无所住 which means without abiding, actually, people probably know it's from the Diamond Sutra.
这个金刚经呢又是一本非常重要的经本，在中国的佛教里头它占的位置、非常的这个重要的。
So the Diamond Sutra, which is also called Vajracchedika Prajnaparamita Sutra, is a well-known, very useful Buddhist classic and it circulates widely in Chinese Buddhist communities and it's very has its very important position in Chinese Buddhist community.
它的重要性它的影响非常的远大可能我们要先讲一下这个金刚经这几个字的意思了第一个是金就是说在中国来讲是很有用的或者是很有一个是很有用很有名的 经典。可是这部经呢，它其实是不容易看懂，啊，它还蛮深的，也很抽象。
So, probably it's helpful to first explain the meaning of the title of the sutra, which is, you know, the full name is Vajracchedika Prajnaparamita Sutra, also known as Diamond Sutra. And it is a very profound, but a little abstract, a little hard to understand. We will explain the meaning of what sutra means.
就像我们今天刚开始的时候，我们讲了个开经偈，能够听到佛法，然后呢能够听到正法，其实是非常难得的一件事情。
Just like what we recited in the beginning, the opening verses for reciting the sutras, it is indeed very precious, very hard to be able to have the opportunity to hear the Dhamma.
那在这个所谓的经，这个字哈，形容叫做智慧的花串。就是梵文的意思，就是花串的意思。
So here sutra, in Chinese it's called jing, really means, in Sanskrit, it means a string of flowers.
那这个把一朵朵的很漂亮的花串起来，就叫做，就是英文叫 sutra 啊。那可是串起来的是什么呢？串起来是佛所讲的语言，佛所讲的所谓的金玉良言，就像一朵朵美丽的花，可是呢这些美丽的花呢它是有智慧的，那对我们呢是有用的啊，所以呢是这个就叫做，为什么叫做 sutra， 就是叫经的意思。
So to put together to string beautiful flowers, beautiful fragrant flowers together is just like a metaphor to say that put Buddha's words, good words together, and they are very beneficial to sentient beings, very good. And this is what we call sutra in English or jing in Chinese.
也就是说在中国，我们叫做经的，除了佛经以外，通常都是，如果是讲佛经的话，通常只是佛所讲的，或者是这个大菩萨所讲的，叫做经。那在中国教里头只有一部经叫做六祖坛经，那是中国人写的，而不是说佛在讲的。那这个也是很特别。
In Chinese, we only refer to what the words and, said by Buddha called Jing. There's only one exception, that is the six page of platform sutra, which is actually written by a great bodhisattva, the sixth patriarch, Master Huimin. That book is also called Jing in Chinese. That's the only exception.
其实《金刚经》是中国人喜欢简单的用字。其实真正那个，如果是从梵文直接翻过来的话呢，叫做金刚般若波罗蜜多经。
So, the Diamond Sutra is, you know, is the wild, popular name. But even in Chinese, actually, we like the concise form to call this sutra. Actually, the full name, just like we mentioned, the full name would be Vajracchedika Prajnaparamita Sutra.
那第一个是经已经讲过了，第二个呢是讲到波罗蜜。那波罗蜜呢，其实梵文是波罗蜜多。那中国人呢，也是把这个多字最后也那个多字也是给它简略去了。
So we just explained what sutra means. And next one we would like to explain what paramita means. And paramita, if translated in Chinese, it should be really four characters, 波罗蜜多. But because Chinese like to be concise, succinct, so we omit the last character 多, but just say using three Chinese characters, say 波罗蜜.
那波罗蜜的意思呢, 就是说到彼岸的意思, 就是说从这个苦难的这一边, 到了另外一边, 这个离苦得乐的这个另外一个地方, 而且呢, 是超越生死的, 而渡过那个生死的大海, 得到解脱的。 那其实呢, 这个意思, 波罗蜜多呢, 实际上面是超度的意思。
So paramita means to the other shore, departure from the suffering shore to the joyful shore, cross the sea of cyclical rebirths and births and deaths. So paramita really means deliverance, surpass.
那这个所谓的这个超度啊，又就是。 其实这个超度是给谁用的？ 这个超度不是给鬼用的， 超度就是给我们活的人用的。 这是用这个超度这个意思是给活人用的。 也可以说是其实佛教的所讲的道理， 所讲的经本也好， 所讲的论也好， 是给谁用的? 是给人在用的。
Nowadays, when we say deliverance or surpass in Chinese, it has the nuances of being referring to chanting for the dead or deceased, as if the sutras are meant for the ghosts. But actually, this is a wrong concept. It's like put the cart before the horse. The sutra is really meant for people who are still alive to learn, to understand. But because misunderstood it, so we would have the wrong perception.
那是不是诵经，那是所谓的这些鬼神是不是也有用呢？ 应该是有一点。可是呢, 主要其实是佛讲的法是 给谁呢？那个时候所讲的语言呢是给谁呢？给他的来听法的人呢，对不对？所以其实是给人家用，听得懂的人他在用。So
when we say the Buddha expounds on sutras or dharma, turns dharma, it's really meant for his followers or his disciples who come to hear and understand the dharma. It's not just to be used to deliver ghosts or deliver the deceased, the spirit of the deceased. But of course, hearing those dhammas can be extremely helpful for those ghosts as well.
那所以呢，是这个波罗蜜，就是希望能够让我们得到这个所谓的解脱，那是从苦的得到这个乐的这个彼岸。 那是波罗蜜，那波罗蜜里头呢，我们还有一个在佛法里头，就尤其是大乘里头呢，有讲到这个所谓的六度的波罗蜜，大家应该比较熟悉的叫做什么？什么叫六度呢？就是布施、持戒、忍辱、精进，还有禅定跟智慧。 那智慧呢又叫做般若，那般若是什么样呢？就是用智慧来指导前面的这个布施、持戒、忍辱、精进、禅定，以智慧来指导才是究竟的。So
now we understand the meaning of paramita is really means to deliver or to be delivered to the other shore, departure from the suffering shore. And we probably are all familiar with the famous six paraparamitas, which are offerings, precepts, forbearance, diligence, meditative absorptions and wisdom. And among these six kinds of paramitas, wisdom is the most important one, because without the guidance of wisdom, the other five kinds of paramitas are just worldly good deeds, good actions. They are not the ultimate wisdom, and not the ultimate Dhamma.
那这些所谓的般若里头，就是我们其实也在用，真正用的，很多时候我们叫做 wisdom， 其实这个智慧还是不够的，真正的话要用。 还是用这个般若，比较恰当一点。般若也有三种，一种是实相的般若，一种是观照的般若，另外一种呢叫做文字的般若。So
when we say one of the six paramitas is wisdom, actually the English word wisdom doesn't quite deliver the full meaning, full taste of that. The substance, we should really use the word prajna. And prajna is a better wording. There are three kinds of prajna. One is a prajna of true reality. The second is the prajna of contemplation. And last one is prajna of words or texts.
实相般若呢是最难懂的，为什么呢？就是说实相而无相的，它是超越文字。 超越一切现象，可是呢，它又没有离开一切的现象。这样子讲，大家就已经懵了，可能是什么意思？听不懂。So
the first kind of prajna of true reality is the most difficult to understand because it has no form. It transcends any words, languages, or texts. It transcends any phenomena, but yet do not depart from any phenomena. Well, when I explain like this, you probably already get lost. Are you still with me?
一切现象呢是经常在变化中，可是是实相的话呢是没有一定的相，而它是如如不动的。Because
all phenomena, all forms constantly keep changing. So there's no fixed one type of form. There's no fixed form, yet it is the true nature is immutable.
所以这个可能还是不懂。So
probably it's still not easy to understand.
是不是?
Right?
有人笑了，没关系。不懂现在没关系，慢慢就懂。听多了就懂，然后真的懂的时候， 真厉害了。It's
okay if you don't get it right now. You just hear it again and again. And if one day you really realize this, then you're really something.
那另外一个呢，叫做观照般若，就是用佛法的观点来观察我们的生活环境，我们的身心的世界，而且呢，要很深刻的去观察我们的身心世界，就会发现哦。 这个身心的世界呢，是经常在变的。那我们就是用这个字叫做无常嘛，所以如果是真正的去能够好好的去用这种观照般若，就会发现呢，一切现象呢，它变化无常的，它没有一个真正的我，有一个假我，不是没有，是有这个没有这个真正的我，它有一个假我在那边。 能够了解到，或者是能够体验到无常，无我。那既然是无我的话呢，你就可以怎么样？可以体验到所谓的什么叫做空的这个道理。The
second type of prajna is the prajna of contemplation, which means to use Dhamma point of view, the right view to observe our life. Observe the environment, the body or the phenomenon of our body, and the mental world, and to reflect upon all this, and you will discover all phenomena are changing constantly, and it is impermanent. And because of its impermanent, there's really no true intrinsic self. There's really no such thing as intrinsic self. Therefore, there's no self. And if you observe further, it is a nature of emptiness. Even though you may find an illusory self, illusory I, but fundamentally, it is the intrinsic nature is empty, and you will realize the emptiness by observing or contemplating the self.
那第三个呢，叫做文字般若。文字般若其实是透过这经典种种文字来说明佛法里头的苦啊、空啊、无常啊、无我这些道理。那比如说《金刚经》啊、《心经》啊等等啊，这些呢都叫做文字般若。
And the last kind of prajna is prajna of words or texts. This refers to all the literatures, scriptures, texts, words that, such as sutras, which are used to explain or describe the meaning of emptiness, impermanence, suffering, no self, etc. For example, the Diamond Sutra and Heart Sutra, all sutras that can be called the prajna texts.
我们自己在这个世界里头生生死死，每一天不断的体验各种各样的所谓的变化的东西，有苦有难。那借重语言这个文字呢，才知道诶是什么道理，为什么是这样子，苦是怎么来的。然后我们自己的执着这些等等这些假象的东西，我们是被困扰住，然后呢我们就升起烦恼。可是现在呢是借用这个文字呢，就帮助我们能够体会到什么叫做智慧，然后离开这些烦恼。
So we're in this cycle of birth and death all the time, and we experience suffering, joy every day. And only by reading scriptures or texts and those written words do we understand what suffering is, where does it come from, and why there's attachment to the self, and why I was confused by the illusory self, and then I give rise to a lot of vexations. Because of studying or reading these written words, written texts, then we have certain wisdom or insights to help us depart from suffering and vexations.
所以是三个，一个呢是第一个是实相啊，实相大家不是很了解。那另外一个是观照，第三个是文字。观照跟文字是不大一样哦。文字呢是读经而去了解，那观照的话呢，是真的是要去有点像是禅坐的，就是读了这个经本以后，了解这个讲的意思，然后去自己去修行，去体验，去观察，这个观照是不一样的。观察，然后你真正的去领会到了，实际的是证到了，那就是变成证到的是什么？证到的是实相般若。所以三个是不一样的。
So, these three types of prajna we just described, explained are a little bit different, right? Quite different. The first prajna of true reality is not easy to get in the beginning. And then the second one, prajna contemplation, is different from the third one, the prajna of texts or words. Because the last one, the prajna of words and wisdom, really just means one sit down, read, or try to understand a sutra intellectually and understand what they are trying to say. But the second type of prajna of contemplation really means implement, internalize, and take action, really to observe and observe, to taste, to understand, to experience by yourself what the sutra or the Dhamma means. And if one day you can actualize the meaning of the sutra, realize the true emptiness, then you will be able to understand the first the prajna of true reality. So these three kinds of prajnas are all quite different.
那现在是讲到这个金刚这个，金刚这个词呢，就是不是物质上面的所谓的 很僵硬的什么，是这个钻石之类的这个石头这种东西。可是它的含义呢，就是说，因为它是金刚，所以呢，它不容易被破坏的。然后呢，它不受其他的东西的影响啊。这个就像是金刚经里头所讲的，这个空也好，无相也好，哦，这个呢是不容易，它不会被任何东西所破坏的，它叫做金刚。
Now we would like to explain what Vajra Tridika means. The Vajra Tridika, translating to Chinese, there are two Chinese characters, Jin Gang. Translating to English, people often use the word diamond, but actually, originally, it doesn't really mean or refer to the physical object, the substance of diamonds, or it's not a stone, right? Because the Vajra Tridika really means impenetrable, indestructible. It cannot be destroyed. It cannot be penetrated at all. It's very firm. It's great strength. And it can cut through everything, yet will not be altered or destroyed itself. So that's what Vajra Tridika really means.
那我们也知道一切的世间的所有的万物都是不断的在变中，从有到无，从没有到有。那如果是我们有这个所谓的般若的智慧啊，心中没有执着，没有被动摇的时候呢，我们的心呢就像金刚一样的坚固。
So we know all things, all phenomena keeps changing all the time. From, you know, nothing to coming to being, coming to existence, and then from existence, and dies, decays, and goes to nothingness. But if we have this prajna, we have this prajna like a Vajra Tridika, without our mind, has nothing to attach to, will not be easily affected.Swayed by any phenomenon, then our mind can be as firm, as impenetrable, indestructible, just like Vajra Tridika.
所以这部经因为讲的是有关这个般若智慧，所以呢，这个般若智慧是一个很强大的力量，就像什么，像金刚一样的那么强大。所以这部经叫做《金刚般若波罗蜜经》。
So because the sutra really expounds on wisdom or prajna, and because prajna has such indestructible force and strength, so the entire name of the sutra is called Prajna Tridika Prajna Paramita Sutra.
Now.《金刚经》在禅宗里头呢，是一部最重要的经本。六祖坛经啊，不是六祖慧能本师本身，他因为听了《金刚经》的里头的两句话而开悟的。
So, this sutra is considered the most important sutra scripture in Chan school.And we all know the Chan Patriarch Master Hui Neng initially got enlightened upon hearing two lines from the sutra.
那其他宗派的法师们也非常重视这部《金刚经》。
And even other masters from other schools also place great emphasis on the sutra.
那六祖慧能听到哪两句话呢？就是一个是因无所住嘛，就是我们今天讲这个题目，其实呢，它是 因无所住，然后呢而生其心。他听到这里的时候呢，他就开悟了。
So which two magic lines that Master Huinen heard and made him become enlightened immediately? That's two lines are first four characters we just described without abiding. The next line is the mind arises. It also takes another four trans characters.
那他第一次听到呢是当时他在这个市集里头，他在卖菜，然后呢听到在客栈里头有客人在送这个金刚经，那送到因无所住而生其心的时候呢，他就马上有一些领悟。那个时候我们用的哈，就是用了，也是用这个开悟的这个字，可是呢其实那个时候的开悟还不是那么深。那后来呢他就决定去，他就问这个诵经的这个客人啊，说这个经是怎么回事啊，然后呢谁在讲啊，这些他的那个客人就说，现在是五祖在某某某地方那个讲经说法啊，所以呢他就决定就去找五祖啊，是就变成他的弟子。变成他的弟子以后呢，有一天这个五祖就是叫他来，然后呢对他讲这个金刚经解释哈，不是只能念而已。那这当讲解到这个也是一样啊，因无所住然后而生其心的时候呢，六祖就大彻大悟了。
So, hear the story of how six patriarch Master Huinen got enlightened. We all know that Master Huinen used to be a woodcutter, so that's how he made his livelihood. He cut woods and sell it to a client in a hotel one day. He was delivering those chopped woods to a hotel. And someone was chanting Diamond Sutra at the time. And when the person chanted to the lines of, without abiding, the mind arises. And the text says Master Huinen got enlightened. They use the word enlightenment. But actually, it's more like a little bit shallow enlightenment or insights. He hadn't reached complete enlightenment yet at that point. But it was quite something already. So he asked that person, what are you chanting and where can I hear more or understand it? And then the person refers Master Huinen to the fifth patriarch, Master Huinen, Wuzhu Hongren, Master Hongren. So Master Huinen decided to go to the fifth patriarch, Master Hongren, to learn more about the Diamond Sutra because he was quite touched by the two lines. So there was a lot happened during he was there, but eventually, finally, he got a chance to have Master Hongren explain to him the entire Diamond Sutra. And when Master Hongren explained into the two lines of without abiding, the mind arises, at that time he was completely enlightened.
这个英文的翻译不晓得是这个唐朝的时候那么古老的时候啊，那个时候有没有 hotel 啊还是用什么用 in 的还是用 tavern
它是让你
来住的对
So it's not a fancy hotel correction. It should be like I don't know hostel
an inn
inn or tavern or something. I think it should be quite fancy. I don't know yeah, maybe we'll look up to see what's the best word to describe here.
那大家要不要听这个经文呢？就是那一段的经文呢？
So, do you want to hear where the two magic lines come from? The context, the two lines.
那我们今天啊。 那个是从金刚经里头的第十品，是庄严净土分第十，有这样的，佛告须菩提于意云何，如来习在燃灯佛所，于法有所得不啊，这个不是现在很多人，不是现在很多人是用这个念这个经的时候，这个不只是念着否，依法有所得否啊，否也，世尊，如来在燃灯佛所，依法实无所得，须菩提，于意云何？庄菩萨庄严佛土否？否也，世尊，何以故？庄严佛土者，即非庄严，是名庄严。是故须菩提，诸菩萨摩诃萨应如是生清净心，不应住色生心，不应住声香味触法生心，最后一个是因无所住而生其心。
So here we're going to read where the two magic lines come from, the original text of the Diamond Sutra, which is chapter 10, Transformation to a Buddha World. The Buddha said to Subhuti, what do you think? When the Tathagata studied on the Dipankara Buddha, did he receive any Dharma? No, world-honored one. When the Tathagata studied on the Dipankara Buddha, did not receive any Dharma. Subhuti, what do you think? Does a Bodhisattva transform a world into a Buddha world? No, he does not, world-honored one. Why not? One who transforms the world does not transform the world. That is to transform the world. And so, Subhuti, Bodhisattvas and Mahasattvas should give rise to a pure mind that is not attached to form, sound, smell, taste, touch, or dharmas. Without a binding, the mind manifests.
好，我念完这句以后啊，有没有人开悟啊？
So please raise your hands if you are enlightened while hearing the texts.
啊，这个就是文字般若，我们只念念。也不见得真的了解究竟讲什么，是这个世界也不是这个世界，然后就又叫做世界，这个是让我们更什么更不晓得在讲什么。
So this is when we say the progeny of words are texts. we merely read it, but reading it won't make us enlightened immediately, because the text is, oh, this isdoes not transform the Buddha, but that is precisely called transform the Buddha. You might get confused already by the negation in the text.
其实我们如果是知道他比如说佛说世界，第一个如果是这个是肯定嘛，佛说世界就不是世界，然后第三个呢才叫做世界，哦，
so,
有人摇头。
So if we slow down and analyze, you know, the structure is Buddha said this is a word, then it is not the world, but it is called the world. You know, the structure is like this.
那我们知道这个原则以后，其实这部经一点都不难啊，比如说我们现在其实很多很多东西哈，我们取一个名字，它只是一个代表名字，它实质呢，实质上面它不是那个东西。比如说现在我们说这个房子，那个房子呢，我们叫做房子，对不对？而这个房子里头呢，它是有墙， 有地板，有天花板，有厕所，有等等等，它这些东西合起来，那我们就叫它做房子。可是呢，只要这个房子一破，它就不叫房子，它就叫破房子，对不对？所以第二个呢，就是它真正的实质上面，它不是房子，它只是一个什么暂时的名称。那这个暂时的名称呢，所以呢，第三个，那就叫它房子吧。我们懂了这个意思以后，你看《金刚经》里头，所有的都是这样子讲，任何东西。所以就是这了解了嘛哈，所以它其实不难的。
But actually, it's not really that hard to understand the structure or the thing that the meaning that Buddha was trying to convey. So, for example, we say, well, this is a building or this is a house, right? What is a house? What is a building? It has floors, it has walls, four walls, it has ceiling, it has bathrooms, and all these things put together, and we use a label to call it.Collectively is called a house or a building, but we all know this is just like a label. If any of the condition changed, it would say the building or house collapsed, no longer suitable for people to stay or live, then you may use other word to describe it, not necessarily the same label as a word, as a house or building anymore. So there's really no better way to label it. So we just temporarily say, okay, let's just call it building or house.Just use a word. So this is what the Buddha trying to convey.
那知道了这个原则，就是对这个经本你在念的时候呢，就很容易明白。
So if you understand this, then it's not hard to read through the sutra.
那现在重点是讲的是心无所住嘛，哈。那这个住什么意思呢？在住其实在这里，我们其实用这个中文来讲，其实很容易了解。你住在哪里啊？我们住在什么什么地方，对不对？你会这样讲，就是停留在那个地方，就是一个地方你住下来的，叫做住。那可是在这里呢，是心无所住，你的心呢，主要住的是不要有心有杂挂碍。不要有执着，或者是不要很在乎一些什么事情。那如果是心能够做到没有牵挂的，就叫做不住。
So what does without a binding? What does without a binding mean? Here, a binding in Chinese, 住, it's actually easy to understand.Zhu is like to a binding. Where do you stay? Where do you stay? Where do you live? Where do you stay there? The place you stay or attached to. So it's like a metaphor. Refers to the mind means you have something that you really concerned. It's like attachment or you care too much to it to a degree that attached to it.
那这个住的时候呢？这句话呢？就是一个很好的方法让我们去用的。那怎么用呢？就是说我们可以检讨自己心无所住，什么时候我们是住的。
So this just one word 住 bind actually can be a good method if we really understand how to use it, because we can often reflect on it where does our mind abide in? Where does our mind stop and stay there?
很简单，这个一句话，你这个人真是很笨蛋，那你的反应是什么呢？一定是不高兴，对不对？那不高兴是不是住啊？我们就住在这个不高兴的这个状况，这个是住了嘛？所以我们在生活里头呢，其实是随时可以检验自己，我究竟有没有在住啊。
So this is actually quite easy. Let's say someone said in front of you, say, you're stupid, right? And then when you hear that, what's your reaction? You mean immediately feel unpleasant. There's a give rise to an unpleasant feeling. And where does your mind stay at that point? Your mind stays with this unpleasant feeling.
然后呢，有些事情其实是不是你做的，然后你被冤枉了，那个冤枉的感觉是很不舒服的。然后也可以这个哎，这个反省一下，哎，我是不是在做呢？
And sometimes you are wronged by other people, or you blame for things you didn't do. This is really uncomfortable. And yet, if you're able to reflect on it, well, where is my mind right now? My mind stays with this, stick to this unpleasant, uncomfortable feelings.
生活中很多事情都可以做检讨。吃的东西很好吃，食物或者是这不行，这个太咸了，这个很难吃了。其实是不是住啊
？So actually, in our daily life, there's a lot of places, a lot of instances we can use to reflect on it, to see if our mind attached to it already. For example, this food is delicious. Oh, that food is too salty. It's not good. And are your mind attached to these things already?
所以有的人是美食专家，美食的时候你就变成是不是住啊？锅美哎，是不是？
锅美。So some people are professional. Is gourmet taste the food critic food critics? So are they kind of the mind abide in or attached to you know the tastes, the sensations or feelings?
那不只是吃啊，就是说看到的很漂亮的美色啊，我们是不是心很能够清楚的，就是我们就是只知道这个状况而已，还是我们是很喜欢这个状况？这些呢，都叫做住啊。
And not only taste, it's the same thing goes to seeing. If you've seen beautiful scenes or forms, sensory pleasant, and are you attached to that? Is your mind moved and attached to that already?
在美国或者是其实在很多地方啊，这个所谓的俊男美女，俊男美女其实是。我们的反应一看到的时候，我们心里的反应是什么呢？而且现在这个世界上面俊男美女是很多方便的，真的啊，是很多时候是因为人在喜欢嘛，这个美啊，所以呢也很多时候是给一些人一些方便。其实我们这个在运作的时候都会有这种情况。就是很多时候因为他的颜值很高，所以他得到很多方便。怎么笑了？
So another example would be good looking guys and women, and Fashi was saying that they actually can take advantage of that. I mean, because people's minds, you know, ordinary people's minds were immediately attracted to or attached to.That appearance. So, good looking guys and women actually have more opportunities or can take advantage of that.
那现在还用一个什么另外一个字啊，叫做萌，是不是？
萌，很萌人。
萌是不是？很萌。那是萌呢，就不只是人了，有些时候动物也是很萌啊。它就是有这种这些，就是我们的心情就会这样子，会被吸引住了。不要中文英文怎么翻译
acuteness and not just the people, right? If you see a kitten, you see a dog and it's so cute and you immediately give rise to certain pleasant sensation feelings, you want to cuddle, you feel it looks really cute.
这些例子其实我们讲到这里的时候呢， 我们就会知道其实佛法是给我们去用的啊，就是说我们有没有真的用呢？这是大家心里有数哦。
So now you probably see that Dharma is really to be used in daily life, because just like the examples I give you, right? But how often do you apply Dharma when you do that? Well, that's only something you know.
很多时候我会遇到一个问题，就是说有人在提这个问题，这个启发是讲一下，这个佛法怎么在生活中用？啊，这样子讲到这里，这个是不是可以回答呢？
Because the most frequent question I often get is, please explain or tell me how can I apply Dharma to daily life? Now I think I can answer this, and you'll get it.
好，可是呢，能够做到所谓的，这个是我们要知道什么叫做住嘛？那怎么样做到无住呢？其实不是那么容易哦。
So now we understand what abiding means, what means attached to something. So how can we detach or not attach to something? Reach that state actually is not easy.
所以呢，在《金刚经》里头呢，是有讲，那个怎么说呢？就是说，因云何住，云何降伏其心啊？所以呢，回答就是师父弟在问了，怎么样叫做住？怎么住法？怎么样去降伏我们这个心啊？所以回答佛陀就回答说：菩萨于法应无所住，行于布施。
So in the text, Sabudhi further asked the Buddha where to abide in the mind, how to subdue, attain the mind. And the Buddha replied, Bodhisattva, you should abide in nowhere and make offerings.
其实是这个只是经文的一部分啊，不是全部的，就是。所以呢，是第一句呢，是须菩提在问哦。那我们的心里头有烦恼啊，有执着啊，那请问世尊，我们究竟有什么办法能够降服这个有住的心？因为我们住的心住在地方太多了，那让我们随时不会受到环境的影响。如果是受到环境的影响的时候呢，我们就会起烦恼。那怎么做？那佛陀就回答说：你在布施的时候呢，就不要执着。怎么讲呢？就是说，你只要不执着，你就能够降服这种烦恼的心，就可以达到了心无所住的这个状况。
So those two lines are, of course, taken out of the text, so we're going to expound a little bit more. It's just one small part of the sutra, where Sabudhi asked the Buddha, saying, we sentient beings all have all kinds of vexations, attachments, and word honor one. Please let us know how we can subdue or tame this mind, so it can achieve the state of non-abiding, and won't be affected by the environment or by phenomena. So the Shakyamuni Buddha replied to him saying, well, Bodhisattva, when you make offerings, you should not attach to it. And by doing that, your mind, you can subdue or tame your mind and let it abide nowhere, reach the state of non-abiding.
我们心里头升起这个烦恼跟执着呢，是当我们跟外人有接触，跟众生有接触，还有什么？跟事情有接触，然后呢，跟环境的接触以后，才会起这个烦恼的。那是不是说，要不起烦恼，我们就断绝跟人有关系？ 断绝跟事有关系呢？如果是这个样子的时候呢，会怎么样？会变成非常的消极的。
So we probably will notice that we have most of the time we have vexations or attachment because we interact with other people's interact with the environment and when our minds come into contact with the outside people outside the environment and or dealing with things we will give rise to vexations and sufferings. So is that correct to say that as long as we can cut off all these things, cut off dealing with other people or even interacting with other people, we can subdue or tame the mind? Well, if you try to do it this way, you will become very passive.
真正的菩萨的时候呢，他还是照样的跟人跟事接触。可是呢，他要做到的哈，就是说怎么样让自己的心呢不起这个烦恼啊，让自己呢不会有牵牵挂挂，那这个才是功夫。那我们也知道，我们牵挂的东西太多了，叫做心有什么千千结，太多太多了，不是这千千了，太多太多了。
But true practitioners, true bodhisattvas, they don't cut off interacting with other people or dealing with engaging a lot of things. Instead, they continue to interact with people to engage in a lot of activities. But instead of being very negative or passive, they are very active actually. But in the same time, they are not really attached to any of these phenomena.And not affected, their minds are not affected by whatever arises. So this is, of course, takes practice. And the ordinary people, ordinary sentient beings have too many attachments, too many things that's sticky on their minds. So the Chinese phrase says, your mind has thousands and thousands of knots that need to be resolved.
我们师父呢以前他已经过去了嘛，可是他以前在世的时候啊，他其实工作非常的忙的，然后呢，他有些时候是这么说啊，他虽然是帮助了很多人，可是呢，他认为自己好像是一个管道，一个输血的管，然后那个是需要血液的啊。血是经过了他的那个管到别的地方去帮助别人而已。他用这个比喻，我们就会感觉到他真的是这个很有智慧的一个人。哦、他只是说一个方便的东西，只是帮忙而已。他没有觉得自己非常的重要，没有他是不行。
So we all know Master Shen Yan, our 师父, he passed away already.But when he was still alive, he actually, if you know, he's very, very busy. He has a very busy schedule. He's always busy helping others. But from his point of view, he never see himself very important or helped a lot of people. Actually, he views himself as a pipeline or a blood vessel, if you use a metaphor, merely facilitating resources and where people needto fulfill people's needs as if expedient means to facilitate and help people. So he only considers himself a vessel, a tool to help people, but not an important figure.
我有一次就是因为我有机会跟师父常常在一起，然后呢我就看到他接待一些客人呢，或者是有一些人来请教他的问题啊。那、啊、其实他做完这个事情以后，其实很忙的，因为很忙。然后每一次哈、啊，他做完以后呢，他好像没事一样，他去做他的事情。我就观察，哇，怎么就是 一点什么那个感受啊，就是什么他也一点感受都没有，他也没有说是刚刚那个人真烦啊什么的，他我都没有听到过哎，他的那个反应啊，就是后面那个反应是好像刚刚那个事情完完全全没有发生一样。哦，我那个对我来讲那个印象是很深刻的。
So I had the opportunity to observe and interact with the Shifu a lot, and had the chance to observe how Shifu interact with others. For example, Shifu has done a lot of things on that day, or were very busy on that day. Perhaps some big activities just finished. Afterwards, there will be some people came forward to ask him questions, ask him a lot of questions. So normal or ordinary people probably will react, hey, I already had a very long day, right? And you're here, keep asking questions. But Shifu reacted in a way that has no trace of impatience at all, as if he hadn't had a long day, as if nothing happened previously. So he was very present, just you can't see that in anything that, in the choice of in the previous event on him. So he just, you know,answer questions or interact with people as usual.
那这里讲的是那个在布施的时候呢，怎么样的做到无所住？那菩萨在行布施帮助众生的时候呢，也就不只是这个布施钱财食物啊，还要包括什么？还有包括佛法，还有包括所谓的无畏施。那布施了以后呢，这个不会再想到哎，布施的多少的东西啊，有多少的功德啊，有多少的人呢、啊？那能够做到这样子的话呢，就叫无助了。那这个人也好，事物也好，我们用一个可能大家都熟悉的，就是说三轮体空。什么三轮呢？是哪三个轮呢？就是没有布施的人，然后没有布施的这个财物，也没有接受布施的这些这个对象。好。
So when we say we should make offerings, but without attachment to such offerings, for example.When we make offerings, can be not just the offering of money, it could be offering of Dharma and offering of comfort, make people have no fear. And once we've done such deeds, make such offering, we should not attach to it, just let it go. Do not calculate in your mind, okay, how much good deeds I've done, how much virtues I've accumulated, and how many people I actually delivered.So if you can let go all these things, this attitude and thoughts in your mind, and do not attach to it, and that is non-abiding. And there's a term we often use in Buddhism called three wheels of emptiness. Which three wheels? Means the three aspects, actually, three aspects of emptiness when you make offering. It's like,It is, there's no such person make the offering. There's no such person receive the offering. And there's no action of offering.
大家可能也会不完全了解什么叫做没有布施的人，没有布施的东西，没有布施的这个接受者。明明有啊，为什么会没有？
So some people may feel quite confused or strange because why do you say there's no person who is making the offering? The other side is receiving the offering and there's something to be offered because there clearly are people who is making the offering and the other person is receiving the offering and there's something to be offered. So why do you say there's no?
大家知道为什么吗？
So do you know why?
啊？
哦，没有。
不住。 第一个是这个不住，可是呢不就是你不住啊，可是还有那个东西啊，还有那个接受的人啊，对不对？我们不住，对不对？好，这个因为是不住嘛。那为什么说这个是没有呢？这三个东西都没有。现在考你们哦。
So this is a text, okay? This is a test on the spot. So we say there's no abiding. Okay, even I achieve the state of non-abiding, I can say, okay, I'm not a person to give, right? But the other side is still receiving it. And there is something to be given. So why three aspects of the whole thing are all empty? Anyone knows? Anyone knows the answer?
主要是因为哦，所有的其实是根据一个空的道理，根据一个无常的这个道理，根据这个因缘的这个道理，很多东西，比如说这个人，我们刚其实我们已经大概讲了一下子，这个房子啊，它是墙壁啊，它是天花板啊，它是地板形成的嘛，所以其实它很多东西是合在一起，它才是这房子嘛，所以它本质上面呢，它是在变化的，是因缘合的，所以它本质上面是空的。所以呢，你要真的做到，或者是真的体验到，这个呢才能够说没有布施的人，没有布施的东西，或者是没有接受的这个人。如果是不能够理解这个，你只能够解释说，我心里没有执着，可是明明有啊，有东西啊，对不对？还有那个接受的人啊，我们没有执着而已啊。所以呢，为什么是这个意思？这个懂吗？这个其实要懂的。好。
So, okay, so even I can say, oh, I will try my best to let go and not attach to myself the act of giving. Okay, so there's no person who is giving.But there's still the other side to receive it, and there's still something to be given. So how come all three aspects of this making offering are all empty? Well, in order to really understand all three aspects are intrinsically empty, you would really have to actualize or experience the principles, doctrines of emptiness, impermanence, and causes and conditions.Just like the analogy earlier we used about the house, right? The building, the house, how it all comes together, but merely the word housing or building is really just a label. The existence of so-called house or building depends on right causes and conditions. Once the causes and conditions change or things become impermanent,And then, there's no such thing called house anymore. So, only when you are able to truly understand, or even experience, such profound, meaning and teachings of emptiness, intrinsic emptiness, impermanence, and the cause and conditions, will you be able, truly understand or experience the threeaspects of emptiness in this giving story.
啊，可是呢，我们自己要先做到呢，就是心里头不要住在这里，就是心里头哈，不要想自己有多少功德啊，这些有多少财物给人家等等。
But at least, I mean, from now, at the right moment, we can still practice that we ourselves do not attach to.The act of giving when we make an offering, right? At least, even though we can't experience all three aspects of emptiness, at least we can do our part and do not attach to the giving, let go that source.
可是真正的能够做到三轮体空的时候呢，其实是当下马上就是体会这些东西是它的本质是空的。
But we should also understand our effort right now is still, the effect is still different from the ultimate, what these three wheels of the emptiness mean. Because if you're truly able to penetrate the meaning and carried out the three wheels of emptiness. All three aspects of emptiness are realized immediately at the same time.
那为什么叫做轮呢？轮就是表示说这个轮子，轮子是一直在变动的，一直在运作的啊。它这些东西呢是没有停止的，它叫做轮。
And the word wheels, we use the word wheels in the term three wheels of emptiness because this refers to the continuous operation of the activity or the thought because it keeps going and never stops.
就是因为东西一直在变动，一直在运转，所以呢，它是没有一个真实的我在那边做什么这样。
Because it keeps going and continues. It's kind of continuous operating. There's no intrinsically, there's no self. That is, there's the I or the self try to do something.
所以那个物质所提供的东西也是，是不是？它也是在运转嘛。然后那个接受的那个东西的人，他也是在运转。所以呢，就是三轮体空，所以三轮体空真的是其实是也是一个方法，让我们其实可以用的，可以修行的。
So the principle three wheels of emptiness also can be understood intellectually like well the other side even though there seems a fixed person on the receiving end but actually all phenomena keeps changing. The same, this applies to that person as well. So there's really just illusory the other person on the other end. It's not a fixed term. There's no intrinsic nature to that the other party. And the same goes to the objects being offered. Even the physical object, it keeps changing all the time, even though you can't perceive, you can't see it.
这个不容易哦，可是有没有用啊？哦，很有用的，就是佛法就是要用。你怎么用？我们听到这些都是，其实都是可以用。
So even though it's not easy to apply, but still, the three wheels of emptiness can be applied in our daily life. I mean, the key to our practice is just apply.Dharma as often as you can.
那接下来呢，就是说，又继续讲这个经文了。诸菩萨摩诃萨应如是生清净心，不应住色生心，不应住声香味触法生心，应无所住而生起心。
So this goes back to the sutra text is so Sabbuddhi Bodhisattva and Mahasattva should give rise to pure mind that is not attached to form, sound, smell, taste, touch or dharmas without abiding the mind manifests.
所以这整段呢就是说我们在做这些事情或者是菩萨们啊做这些事情的时候呢应该要有这个智慧心清净的心来做这些事情啊，不要想到哦，不要被这个色声香味触法这个六尘呢而起执着。
So what this sutra means is that when we take engaging activities or make offerings we should have the wisdom mindThe pure mind, and once an offering is done, do not attach to the form, sound, smell, taste, touch, or dharmas. And if we are able to not attach to it, we will have the mind of wisdom and the mind of non-abiding.
这个六尘可能大家知道六尘为什么就可以用尘这个字？这个尘就是尘埃的意思。那我们面对的六种尘埃那是什么呢是我们看到的 我们听到的，我们应该是闻到的，我们是或者是我们尝到这个味道，身体接触到的，或者是心里头得到的一些印象啊，就是说这些呢，在佛法里头叫做尘埃，这个尘埃就是很多了。
So here we refer to, there's a specific term used to describe the form, sound, smell, taste, touch, and the mental forms all together. They are called, six dusts. The six dusts just saying, you know, in ordinary life, what do we see, what do we hear, what do we smell, what we taste, and what we touch on, and what's arising in our mind, the mental activities.And, if we go into details, there's a lot of to be described here.
那这个法呢，最后一个的法呢，其实这里有牵涉到我们的思想，我们的语言，我们的文字，一些符号跟记忆，这些呢都叫做法。那这个法呢，就不叫做佛法。哦，这是世间的现象。这些呢，我们是用头脑去想的，或是语文啊，或者是符号，或者是记忆呢，我们叫做法。这两个不同哈，大家要清楚。
So, one of the six dusts is called the dharmas. This dharma is different from Buddha dharma. We need to be clear here. This dharma actually is used to describe thoughts, thinking, the thinking mind, the thinking thoughts.Language, symbols, and memories of the mental forms. So it's different from Buddha Dharma.
那我不晓得现在是不是英文啊？是不是佛法的时候还是用大写的 D？ 然后呢，当讲到这一般的法的时候啊，就是用小写的。是不是现在还是这样的？你这个问 Bill 一下。
So question to Bill or in the speakers, so is that true when we use Dharma, if we refer, the word is to be used on the context of Buddha Dharma, we would capitalize D and Dharma. And when we use the word Dharma to refer to thought, thinking mind, language, symbols, or memories, we still use the word Dharmas, but without capitalized D. Is that still the case?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.Dharma, the
Buddhist refers
to the teachings. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, teaching.
What is Buddhist?
It is the Dharma. That's how it's called that in English. Mm-hmm. But every individual experience that you have, every time you see a little one with a Dharma, a small Dharma. Mm-hmm. Yeah. 所以这个不只是这个语言文字，而且这个都叫做法。
So Bill, just to confirm, that's right. If we refer to teachings of Buddha, then we would use the capitalized D for Dharma. And if we just generally refer to individual experience of all the sensations, feelings, thoughts, then we would use all phenomena, we would use the small D Dharma.
那我们自己的，我们叫做另外一个名词叫做根嘛，六根啊，眼睛、眼睛、耳朵、鼻子、舌头、身体，还有一个是心啊，这些呢叫做我们叫六根，跟外境接触就是这些六层啊。接触的时候心里有反应，反应是正常的，可是呢我们有没有被影响，我们有没有起烦恼，如果没有的话呢就叫做无助。
And there's another term is called six roots. What six roots means is six roots refers to six sense organs, or six roots refer to eyes, noseears, tongue, body, and mind. So when these six sense organs come into contact with six dusts, the sounds, the form, sound, smell, taste, touch, and dharmas, whether one's mind will react to it. Because it is natural that sense organs will come into contact with this outside environment, with the six dusts. But whether one's mind will react to such contact, that is a critical moment to decide whether you're abiding or non-abiding. If you react to it, your mind attached to it, then you're abiding. You're attached to it already. That's not non-abiding. But if you do not attach to it, then that is non-abiding.
可是呢，我们也知道哈，我们可以利用我们就是六根来修行。它也可以变成一种修行的，就是当我们的六根跟外境接触的时候呢，它也变成一个修行的一个媒介或者是一个对象。比如说什么修行法，比如说我们喝茶对不对，我们这些是有做茶禅之类的嘛，对不对？那这个茶我们喝的时候呢，是透过我们的什么嘴巴嘛，舌头嘛，还有闻，对不对？也是鼻子嘛。所以呢，我们要很清楚的知道这些味道，还很清楚的这些茶进入我们的舌根，它会产生什么样的一些反应。那我们是不是能够做到，练习让我们心是专注在喝茶的，那就变成一个方法了。
So actually we can take advantage or make use of these six sense organs to practice Dharma. For example, it's very popular to have tea meditation. It's very tea ceremony, tea meditation. And during the tea ceremony, we see the color, we smell the aroma, we taste the tea. And all these activities we can observe and see if we can, our mind can be stable and clearly aware of our reactions or sense reactions through the contact or sense organs.
那不只是这个是用这个哈，另外一个呢是朋友透过这个声音，对不对？我们用我们的耳根，然后听到声音。它也是一个修行的方法哦。怎么说呢？就是其实我跟很多人在这边有些人知道分享的，就是那个听松波的敲那个波的时候，我们用方法让自己心是安住在那个声音上面，让自己慢慢从一个杂乱的心慢慢进入一种安定的身心的状况，它也是变成一个方便法。
And not just that, but also using sound, our ear, the sense organ of ears can tame our mind as well. For example, the sound meditation by hitting different balls can be very calming and can help you collect your mind, the scattered mind, and try to make them unified into one mind and be very stable.
我记得那个在我们在禅期的时候有做早晚课，那早晚课里头有唱诵，然后呢很多人这个虽然是在禅修中在打坐的时候呢，就变成怎么这个唱诵的声音就出来，他有这个状况。
So during intensive retreats, we will have morning services and evening services. So even when, as if someone was still sitting there and doing meditation, the sound will automatically come out.
那我就这里其实有一个问题，就是说，那这个呢，心是不是住在那边了？我就问一个很实际的问题啊，这个算不算住？
So I have one question, a very direct question is, does this count as a binding? where is the person's mind? Is the mind abiding in that?
不一定。
Not necessary.
因为我们听啊、yes.
Part of our training is, I think it's part of the training is to practice not reacting to things that arise in our mind or things that come in from outside.
Hi, part of what Buddhism is trying to get us to be better at is not reacting to things that either arise in our mind. You know, we have a, for some reason, we remember something bad that happened to us earlier and we get angry again. You know, that, you know, this happens to everybody. But if you're a good practitioner, as your practice gets better, when you see that memory arising, you just abide where you are. You don't let it affect you again, right? And the same thing, like obvious examples, you know, everybody knows that when you smell something that smells good, you might want to eat it, right? but we also know that if we eat everything we want to eat, we'll become enormously fat and probably die young, right? So part of the, it's a Buddhist concept at work when they say, okay, you smelled something good, control yourself. Don't just automatically jump out and eat it. And it's that controlling of the impulse that is the abiding, I think, that we're talking about.
很好，中文。
好，翻译一下比丘菩萨刚刚说到的，就是说，他认为，我们佛教所想要训练的和达到的一个效果，就是说，对于心里产生的一种情绪啊，对外边境界不会做那种无法控制的反应。比如说，如果你很生气的事情啊，你想起了很生气的事情，你能够控制住而不立马对它做出很生气的反应，能够比较平静一点。又或许，你闻到很香的味道，你不会立马跳起来说啊我要吃，你还是能够控制得住你自己，能够控制一下，不会立马反应，至少自己心啊不会那么容易受影响。所以他认为这就是佛教佛法在现实生活中的一个很好的运用。
所以呢，为什么我要考大家的原因，就是说要听清楚什么叫做住，什么叫做无住。当这个声音它进来了，哦，它会留一个印象在我们的心里头。可是呢，如果是它只是一个记忆，这是这个很正常的我们的人的反应，听了这个声音它是一个记忆，那还是不是住哦，而是说当你听着这个声音你很喜欢或者是你觉得很讨厌的时候呢，那个时候呢才叫做住，这个要很清楚哦。
Okay. So why I would like to throw out this question is just want to make sure everyone heard clearly what is abiding and what is non-abiding. So, for example, when the sound comes into your ear, you hear it, and that leaves impression of the sound. At that point, that does not count as abiding. Only when you generate second thought, you react to that memory.To that sound impression, you react by likes or dislikes. At that point, we say there is a binding.
所以住的意思就是说，其实是对一切都很清楚的。可是呢，你不要起执着，不要起烦恼。所以呢，心是有反应的，才会叫做无所住，而怎么样生其心。
So actually, when we say without the binding, your mind still functions clearly. You're clearly aware of everything. It's just that you do not react, to what comes into your mind. That's called without a binding.
所以一个呢是无所住，然后呢一个呢是他有反应，反应呢也就是说对世界上面所做的一切呢，我们都有功能的， 而且这个功能呢，它会比那些有助的人会更自由、更活泼、更有效用。可能它是一比三的，可能一般人因为心里头挂碍很多、牵涉很多，就是那个反应啊，就是可能是有点偏差的。可是无所住的人呢，是非常自由自在，他不只是自己的享受，而是说他应对每一天的那个状况啊，都是很自在的。但是对环境来讲，整个来讲是非常有用的。
So you see that actually there's a difference between people can achieve the state of without abiding and people who experience a world with, you know, response to environment, to whatever comes into their mind. So people who can achieve the state of without abiding, their mind still functions actually, and even functions more efficiently and lively, more lively than people who would immediately react to situations. Because their reactions are not helpful and they murk down, slow down the reaction process, the function part of the mind. So because you do not abide in its forms, because you have the mind of non-abiding, one actually can respond to situations more lively, more effectively, and the functions of the mind can be used to its full potential. So this is actually quite useful.
有一次，我其实我们时间已经到了。有一次呢，我看到一位禅师他在写心经的时候，那我就跟着他那个毛笔动的状况写下来的时候，他在写的时候，我已经感觉到他那个非常流畅的写那个心经，没有说停止啊，或者是被什么东西挡住啊，那个感觉是非常流畅的。然后我就跟着他这个样子动动动动的时候呢，好像我的心也进入那个很安定的状况。可是那个很活的，它不是死死的状况。哇，那个感觉是很那个感觉是很不一样的。
您就是在看而已是吧？
我光是看而已，他就在写。
So one time I was watching another Chan master writing calligraphy. So when the writing calligraphy, he was writing the Diamond Sutra.
Oh no, 心经.
Heart Sutra. Okay, Heart Sutra. So he was writing calligraphy of Heart Sutra, and I was just on the side observing him. And when he was writing, it's so fluid and nonstop without any obstructions. It's so lively and so free, and by merely by watching him writing calligraphy of Heart Sutra, I as if I were, you know, eventually led to that stage. And it is just such a lively stage, not what people would not ordinarily imagine. It's kind of dead end. No, it's very lively, very freely, yet it's non-abiding.
所以我们其实可以透过我们这个眼耳鼻舌身意这个六根啊，其实是可以去检查自己有没有究竟，有没有执着，有没有起烦恼，然后呢怎么样去不起执着不起烦恼，那变成什么，是不是变成方法啦，是不是可以用啊，佛法可不可以用啊，佛法中用啊，那今天就讲到这里咯。
So we can often use our six sense organs to reflect upon whether our minds are moved or attached to things. And if we can reflect often and try to apply Dhamma every day, then you'll see the Dhamma can be really used in your daily life. So due to time, that's it for today's talk. Thank you.